Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. Today is the last day of 2009 show, and being that Christmas is just days away, followed by the New Year, we are proud to honor all the blended families in America and the world. Our show theme for today is A Blended Family Holiday, Challenges and Rewards. And joining me to talk about this wonderful, challenging, and rewarding experience is Shirley Crest Dudley, a licensed professional counselor from Charlotte, North Carolina. Shirley has two master's degrees, one in marriage and family counseling and the other in education. She is also a part of a blended family herself and is raising two children and three stepchildren with her husband, Eric. Over the years, I've learned from my nine moms, in order for me to truly experience and appreciate unconditional love, I, on the receiving end, must consciously allow myself to be loved. This unconditional love is especially critical now because, statistically, by 2010, the number of blended family will surpass the number of nuclear family in America. This holiday season presents a great opportunity for all of us to take a closer look at this family dynamic. Good morning, Shirley. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you, Johnny. I'm happy to be here.
Well, good.
Right before the holidays.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I appreciate you coming back. And the timing is just perfect because I think talking about blended family during the holiday season, all the challenges and rewards, I think that it's the perfect timing for us to talk about this. I've heard wonderful stories and I've heard about some horrific stories about all this, you know, and So I'm excited to have you on and to kind of walk us through on how we can have a blended family holiday, of course, you know, a wonderful one that is. But let us talk about your wonderful family. Please tell us about your family life and the community you currently live in.
Well, me and my husband and our five kids live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's a growing city, a banking community. In fact, we just hired, Bank of America just hired our next CEO, Brian Moynihan, so we're excited about that, that they'll keep their hub in Charlotte. So we're expecting an icy, rainy Christmas, no snow. It's rare that we get snow, but our neighborhoods are lined with decorations for the holiday, and including our home, which is just filled with holiday decorations. So we're excited.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell us about how your blended family got started.
Well, my husband and I, Eric, met, and we fell in love. And I didn't just get a husband, but the husband came with three kids, with one boy and two girls. And then I brought my two kids, a boy and a girl, to the marriage. So now we have a blended family of seven kids and three dogs. So a very, very big family.
Well, it looks like it's a perfect package with everything in it. But how long were you guys, did you guys date and somehow somewhere along the line were able to kind of, you know, okay, hey, this is what we want to do and we're willing to kind of work it out, you know?
Well, it is something that you're not just looking for a spouse or a mate, but you're also looking for someone that'll be a good parent to your children.
Right.
So it does take a little longer. I dated Eric at first and didn't introduce him to my kids, and he did the same thing. We had to get to know each other, and is this a person that you love and that will also be a good parent? And then gradually introduce the kids to Eric and my kids and his kids to me. And then we had a meeting where all the kids got together to kind of stare at each other and look at their future step siblings. So it is a longer process than just a young couple falling in love and getting married without any of the extra details.
But it sounds like you guys, you know, had all these things planned out, which is really good because a lot of times, you know, when you date someone and it didn't work out and then the kids got attached and those kind of things. And so you guys kind of really planned it out on both sides. So you guys kind of knew exactly what you all wanted to do, you know. So, but that's fantastic. So are you guys ready for the wonderful holiday season?
Oh, we are. We just had a very peaceful week because the kids are home. I believe our last child came home from college today, but my kids are at their daddy's house and his kids are at their mother's house, and so they're spending the week with the other parents, and they'll be at our house on the 25th in the evening, where we'll just have a simple dinner, mostly appetizers and finger food, and we're celebrating Christmas on the 26th. So this is mainly a couple's week for my husband and I, where we're doing some extra baking and cleaning around the house and just enjoying the peacefulness before our house fills up when the seven kids arrive on Friday.
I understand that. That sounds good. So you guys, actually it gives you an opportunity just to kind of connect with you and your husband without the kids around. So.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice, yes.
So that's wonderful. Well, I've heard some wonderful situations as well as some challenging situation when it comes to blended family holiday. Let us talk about some of the challenges and rewards. The first thing that comes to mind is acceptance, the custody situation, finding, you know, values in oneself. I mean, how does that work?
Yes, challenges. It is tough because the parents chose each other and the kids didn't get to choose their new step-parent or their new step-siblings. They really aren't part of the dating process or the falling in love process. And I might be madly in love with my new spouse, but that doesn't mean the step-kids are madly in love with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it does take a while for the kids to get used to the changes and then also understand what are the expectations for this new family. What do we expect from our kids in the blending? So it is important to create clear expectations.
And you talk about realistic expectation. I mean, how do you make sure that everybody feels included in a holiday celebration on something like this?
You want them to know that mom and dad still love them, even though they live in different houses. But
mm-hmm.
the best way to make them feel included is to make sure that everybody is here over the holiday celebration. So we don't plan it where my kids are here one day and then the next day his kids are here and we celebrate on different days. We don't do that. When we have special family events, in this instance it's Christmas or a month ago Thanksgiving, or their birthdays all of that, we will move the day. It doesn't matter when it occurs, but we move it so that all of the kids can be present, so that they realize that you're part of the family and that we want you here. And our kids are older, and so it is tough to keep them in the house. That all but one can drive. So we have at least one night where basically the whole house is grounded into the home. We have a meal together. We watch a movie together, and we're just plain family. And then the rest of their visit, it's more flexible where they're flying in and out of the house with friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. That sounds like you guys have a game plan now. Speaking from a general perspective, you are a counselor, and I'm sure, you know, how long has your blended family been going on now? How long have you had your blended family?
I've been counseling for 20 years and working with blended and step families. My family is pretty new. Eric and I have been together 3 years, and we just celebrated our second anniversary December the 1st.
Okay. Well, this is fantastic here. So, you know, because one of the questions I want to ask about is is there a special differentiation between the ages of the children when you kind of put blended family together, you know, like a game plan for, say, preschool age children compared to preteen and then the teenagers and all that. So it looks like you're right up here that you can kind of give me firsthand information about this.
Uh-huh. Well, it is easier with younger children, with preschool and younger school-age children. No one likes divorce, and then remarriage is very confusing. But the younger children get more used to the situation more quickly. They're more adaptable, and when the daddy or the mommy remarries, that seems natural to them to have a daddy and mommy in each house,
mm-hmm.
so there's not as much trouble. When you get to teenagers have so much going on with their friends and school and hormones and then their focus on themselves that they're really upset that their parents have picked this moment in their lives to divorce and remarry. So teenagers have a bit of a struggle. But I don't want to just focus on them, because even young adults or adults in their 30s and 40s, when their parents remarry, they don't know what to expect or how to act.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like change. And so it's important for the mom and dad, whether you're talking to a 7-year-old or a 45-year-old child, explaining to them that you've added a new spouse and these are your expectations when you come into this home, to be polite and respectful to the adults in the home and treat everyone like you'd like to be treated, and be friendly to all family members. So it's really the parents' responsibility to guide them. But yes, the younger the kids are, it is easier.
And how about the amount of time the blended family of being together, like the first year family comparatively to the second, third, the fifth year? In your case, you know, you guys have been together for 3 years now, so are there different things strategically that, you know, that you guys are doing a little bit different the first year, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first year, the kids don't know what to expect. And that's why it's so important for the parents to teach them what, you know, what are their guidelines for this new home, what is going to happen, what they should expect. So the first year is very uncomfortable. You've got strangers in your home that are family. Mm-hmm. But this is a wonderful opportunity to teach your kids, because divorce and remarriage are very difficult. But they're going to go through changes in their life where their best friend moves,
right,
or they have to change schools, or they're an adult and they lose their job. There are going to be negative things that happen in their life that they can't control, but they need to be able to get through it and look positively toward the future. So this is an opportunity for parents to teach them how to make transitions through tough times. So the first year is very hard, but then when you move into second and third and fifth, the kids show up and they know what the expectations are. They've gotten to know their step siblings and their step parent,
mm-hmm.
and it's different with different families. Some blend perfectly and it becomes very natural and you think of them as family. Some people
right.
drop the step and just refer to them as their siblings or their moms and dads. I have two moms, two dads, and it becomes very, very easy. There are some families that it never becomes easy, that I'll talk to and they've been at it for 15 years and still having difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I put that back to the mom and the dad of really stressing, when you're in this home, these are what our expectations are, that you'll speak to everyone that's here. You'll treat everyone as family. So it's different with everyone, but some families I've talked to are at that 15, 20-year point,
right.
and they still haven't blended.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can go either way. But again, I think it's up to the parents to teach them, because you will be with people that aren't related to you when you marry or when you adopt children, or there are mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. So it is very possible to have a blended family within a year that functions very, very well and naturally. Now, not perfectly,
right.
but I don't know any perfect family.
Well, you know, that goes for the nuclear family itself. I mean, I think, you know, we have sibling rivalries and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So,
you don't expect a perfect family.
Right, right. So it's more challenging for a blended family, that is. Now, I mean, this is something that, of course, you know, there is some sort of a game plan that you have here and everything else. Are there things that the blended family, that, you know, first-timers, blended family, when we talk about, forget about the holiday season, just to kind of get blended here, do we have something out there that people could, it's easily for someone to find? In other words, to help them, guidelines, to give them an idea. Because going through a traumatic experience and of course, looking at holidays for the first time, you know, how do one frame the holiday concept? I mean, I've read something about split holidays, for example,
mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of things. Can you shed some light about that?
Well, sure. Well, you're very helpful, because I can bring up my book. I've written Blended
yeah.
Family
yeah.
Advice,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful book and really an instruction manual on how to do blended families. And it's a great guide for step families and blended families to figure out how do you become a family and what do you do, because it is not a natural process. And there are a lot of resources on the website, the Blended and Step Family Resource Center, where they can read articles from other families, articles from me, look at pictures and stories and poems about blended families.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The expectation, first and foremost, you saying that has to be very realistic, though, because you can't, this is not the time to be selfish, so to speak.
No, well, you have to look outside yourself. That's the hardest part of being in a blended family is for kids and for the adults is you're going through change and it's a brand new family and you're focusing, you can't help it, you're focusing on yourself and how you feel and
right.
how you see the family through your eyes. And so there's competitions between the stepmom and the stepkids that really shouldn't exist because dad can love his wife just as much and also love the kids. It's a different
right.
kind of love. You have the stepkids looking at each other wondering, is this child love more than me? Am I as special as I was before
right.
mom remarried? And so a lot of that is going on, but we're only looking at it through our eyes. So
right.
what's very difficult is to turn around and look at it through your child's eyes or your spouse's eyes or your stepchild's eyes and try to understand their perspective and then back up a little, take a deep breath
mm-hmm.
and try to love them as family, figure out how to be a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about stuff like that, I remember when I was growing up with my sister, I mean, we were both adopted from two different families. Of course, she's 6 years older than I was. And,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are times when I get into trouble all the time. It seems like my parents don't like me very much, but it turned out to be, of course, I'm the one that does all the
uh-huh.
bad things in life, you know, and they have to discipline me a whole lot more than my sister. And I understand what you're talking about. Well, if the parents does not, you know, and this has got nothing to do with whether you're blended or not, but it's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of like, you know, wait a minute, you know, if you don't focus on the child and making child understand that, hey, you know, I love you very much, and it's got nothing to do with love. It's more about keeping you straight, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes
well,
a big
they,
difference.
They make that mistake when they've seen that their child has gone through divorce and now they've gone through their parents' remarriage, and they think, well, then maybe I need to drop the discipline or the boundaries.
Right. Right.
And that's exactly incorrect, that children need the discipline and they need the boundaries. That actually gives them safety and it gives them a freedom that they know the parents are still in charge
mm-hmm.
and they're still going to guide them and direct them. So it's important to keep those boundaries and the discipline and even for a brand new blended family to develop their own house guidelines and rules for
yeah.
their home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if it's different from dad's house and mom's house. The kids will adapt, and then they know what's expected when they enter that home and that mom and dad love them because they care enough to give them boundaries.
I understand. Is it possible for a mom or a dad to try too hard over the holidays?
Absolutely. Some people call them a Disney dad or a super mom, but they just try too hard. And in fact, I have a whole section on this in my book, Blended Family Advice.
Mm-hmm.
But their parents, they get so nervous before the visit and so nervous that they're anxious. They want everything to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore their spouse. They ignore the other kids in the family, and they want every visit to be completely over the top. You know,
mm-hmm.
all expenses, all of the time for the
mm-hmm.
Just for the kid. Well, this emphasis, it's not natural. It's not natural to put focus on just one child. It's not natural to ignore the spouse or the other children.
Mm-hmm.
But what's best is to have a balance. And
mm-hmm.
and this is very difficult, especially for non-custodial parents that say, well, I only see my son twice a month
mm-hmm.
and a couple of weeks over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important to have the balance, to have the family time where when the child or children visit, the whole family is together.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's important to have one-on-one time, dad and kid or mom and kid time, so time that the biological parent has dedicated just to their child. Now, that may just be a couple of hours. It's not a whole day, and it's not something ultra special like taking them off to a theme park for the whole day, but maybe taking them on the errands. Dad
mm-hmm.
takes them to the hardware shop, and mom drives around and runs errands with the kids, or they stop for ice cream or this time of year hot chocolate. And then one more balance. Even if the kids are visiting, there still needs to be couple time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the marriage is not a priority, then it won't be a good and healthy family for the kids. So
mm-hmm.
finding that balance of the couple time, the family time, and the one-on-one time, and that gives the children structure. It also shows that they're part of the blended family, that when they come to visit, it's not a separated parent-child visit, that they're actually joining in the blended family.
Right. I've seen where, I guess maybe this might be at the dating aspects of it, or even some parts, maybe the first year of the blended family, where I've seen when the child comes in, the other person sort of play a backup role. And that's not healthy, is it? Say, the husband's child comes in, and then all of a sudden the new wife sort of play a backup role, doesn't want to be in the picture, you know, so that they can have this little bonding or something like that. And what you're saying, that may not necessarily be, you know, good, because then you're still not blending, because, when this person shows up, the other person becomes secondary in life and everything else.
And I understand what you're saying. I hear that a good bit from, for instance, a non-custodial dad and his kids
right.
are coming to visit, and the mom feels like, I don't exist on,
right.
on the weekend that his kids are here. I'm completely ignored. So, again, it's that balance that just to use the example, the dad with his, let's say, three or two kids coming to visit, he still needs that balance. He still needs to talk to his wife and say, okay, my two sons are coming over on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we ought to do? And then the couple together plans the weekend, just for example, the weekend, and they plan when can the two of them be together, when can dad and the boys be together, you know, and that might be an afternoon outing,
right.
and then when can the entire family, because the mom might have some kids too,
right.
when can they as a family do something together? So it's really that balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with any of the time. There's nothing wrong with family time. There's nothing wrong with couple time.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with dad and the boys' time. But
right.
as long as there's that healthy balance.
Right, right.
And okay. incorporating them into the family.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think, I guess you have to be a little bit more mindful and get more organized in some ways to
well,
really
it's
turn
amazing.
Everything out. Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing how organized you have to be. The parents actually have to sit down and figure out, what if this happens? What if that happens? It sounds funny, but I have several families that spend time planning seating arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that in my blended family, too, that when you sit down at the dinner table or you sit down to watch a movie
right.
in the living room, you have to figure out, where are we going to sit, where everyone feels like a family and no one feels excluded. And
wow.
so it's this ultra planning until people get used to being family together.
I see. That's interesting, because never thought about it that way. But then I guess we have to be focused and aware of it, because someone inevitably is going to get the feelings hurt or perceived being left out.
Mm-hmm. Where it's not intended. And
right.
you want to move to the stage where you can walk into the dinner table or walk into the living room and just flop down.
Right, who cares?
And
you don't
mm-hmm. and you don't look around to see what kid got closest to mom or who's getting to sit in the best seat. At some point,
right.
you get to the stage where you don't have to plan that. But
right.
in the beginning, you want everyone to feel included, and you want everyone to know that they're loved and they're so important. And the adults do need to plan the seating and plan who rides in what car to the concert. You
right.
know, those sort of things where normally we don't think of that.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about some of the challenges for a blended family. Examples like sabotages from the ex-spouse, you know, fairness from relatives and those kind of things. I've heard about some nightmares and as well as some, wonderful things like it's the in-laws actually embrace the new family. I mean, it's funny, and I've heard situations where, you know, actually the ex-wives or the, love each other more than the
mm-hmm.
husbands. So let's talk about that.
There are some very different situations. There are situations where the whole extended family comes together as far as the biological mom, biological dad, the step parents, and they're all in the same home celebrating together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of several families that can do that. And
mm-hmm.
and the kids have everyone in the world they love in the room together, and they're getting along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, then I think that's great. But mostly it's the kids celebrating with mom and her husband and dad and
mm-hmm.
and his wife Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned sabotage, I think the sabotage can happen in the transition, when the child's transitioning over from, let's say, mom's house to dad's house. Mm-hmm. And they know that dad is planning a big holiday meal for that dinner. And mm-hmm. and so the ex-wife could sabotage by stuffing the kids with cookies and sweets and pie right before the big meal. So when the kids sit down, they're not interested. Now right. What's wrong with all this is the ex-spouse is thinking, well, I'm getting back at my ex-spouse, but they really don't. It hurts the kids. It puts the kids in a situation where they're having to choose mm-hmm. between mom and dad and take sides, and children don't need to be put in a position where they have to pick mm-hmm. between mom and dad. They need to be able to love mom and dad equally and not choose. Mm-hmm. And so these attempts at sabotaging, or maybe dropping the kids off a couple of hours later so they don't make it to the holiday event they were trying to go see. Things like that only hurt the children. So the exes need to consider this and do what's best for the children and give the battles up.
I've read where it said that revenge is a dish best not served during the holidays.
Oh yes, I agree. I don't know if revenge ever is a dish to be served, or if it, just carrying that kind of anger, the energy that it takes up in your body to remember to be angry at someone and to continue that battle. I really don't understand. But no, it's not best for our children at all, that it's best to keep them out of the arguments and out of carrying messages back and forth between mom and dad, but just let them have a time to enjoy the holidays with mom and then with dad.
Now, how, you know, we've been focused on the parent side of the equation here. How about for the children themselves? I mean, what ratio, as you have, you know, practiced in this business, did you see that things like this, the sabotages and all those kind of things, were originated from the children's side of the equation versus the parents?
That does happen. And, in fact, I've worked with a family recently where a teenager was sabotaging the younger step sibling's birthday and other special events. And the goal is to include all of your children in all of your family events, to let them know that they're welcome and that you want them at the baby's birthday party, or when the families celebrate any special event, you want everyone there. But if you have a child, and this could be a younger child, this could be a teenager, this could also be a young adult, and they're intent upon ruining the event, mm-hmm. making a scene, drawing attention to themselves, that's time for the parents to take the child aside. And when I say child, again, this could be preschool up to 20s, 30s, 40, you know, any age, but it is still your child, taking them aside and saying that this is not appropriate and that we're having a special family time right now, and that what you're doing isn't good and it won't be allowed, and you remove the child from the situation. There needs to be discipline, and it might mean that at the next birthday party of a step-sibling, the child is not invited. Or even any type of special celebration, that you exclude the child. Now, it doesn't mean that they get one-on-one attention later either.
Right.
They're just excluded, period, from the event. And what it does, it's a boundary issue, it's a discipline issue, and it teaches the child that we want you to be part of our family. And if you want to join it and work with us and everyone love and care for each other and be respectful, then you can be a part of it. If not, we're going to exclude you. And many families have dealt with that, and we even have dealt with that with one of our daughters, where we had to exclude her a little until she basically joined the program and decided that it made more sense to be part of the family than to be sitting alone away from the family.
Right. Well,
the children will do that. I mean, they'll see, can I separate dad from his new wife or mom from her new husband? Can I break this up? And they'll cause mischief.
And this, based on what I've heard, is not necessarily just being in the first year or the second year. It could be ongoing because of the denial part of the, whether it's a child or whoever is involved in the situation, because if on the parent side, if you allow it to happen, then obviously it's going to continue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly right, that's where the parents come in, that if they don't put up a strong boundary mm-hmm. and have discipline or consequences, the child will continue the poor behavior. And so it is up to the parents to say, no, this is not acceptable and I won't allow it. And then, of course, the consequence depends on the age of the child. But if the parents enforce this expectation of this is the way I want you to act when you're here with your family, your step-parents, and this is the way I want you to treat them, if they continue to express those expectations clearly and have consequences, it won't take 3 years, 5 years, or 20 years to blend
right.
your family, because the kids will learn these are the boundaries and am I going to accept them or not. And kids want to be with family and they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is easier to stop the negativity and the sabotage and join the family.
Interesting. And how do you go about in encouraging extended families to treat everyone fairly and equally? Because that's the other side of the equation, because I hate to go over, you know, so-and-so's place because I feel left out. Oh, I could just envision myself. I have this laser eyes following me
mm-hmm.
in the back
it
of
is.
My neck and stuff like that. So how do you take care of something like that?
It is difficult, and it's expressing your expectations to your extended family, to your mom and dad, who would
mm-hmm.
be the grandparents of the kids, explaining to them, thank you for accepting my new spouse. I'd like you to also accept my new spouse's children as your grandchildren. And when you give gifts to the grandkids, if you could give them all equally
mm-hmm.
for birthdays, if it could be all a similar value. Some grandparents will just embrace this. They'll jump in and just love the kids immediately and accept them as family. And my husband's mother did that. She was absolutely amazing. We were married on December 1st several years ago, and she immediately sent all these goodies and cookies with my kids' names on them, welcome to the family. This year she sent an ornament that had our kids on it with five kids on the ornament.
Oh, great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some just jump right in. Then there are others that they don't understand.
Wow.
You know, these have been my grandkids for 10 years, and now you have these new kids in the family, and you want me to treat them the same, I can't do that. Well, that's where you put up the boundaries. If it means that you don't go visit them, it is difficult, but it might mean you just give them a phone call or a card, or you make the visit very short. But you as a family have to stick together and talk to the extended family about what is your expectation and the reason for the fairness, that you want fairness on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That you're talking to everyone, and that's really what's best for the child. And the children are looking too. I mean, there you'll see them counting gifts and looking to see what the other child got. I mean, you
right.
do that with your regular sibling.
Right.
You know, you peek in the stocking, see if they got what the other one got, or
right.
or you look at the birthday gifts. But the kids want to see, are we still important now that
right.
this remarriage has occurred?
Right.
So you do the best you can. If your extended family disagrees, then you as a couple have to decide how to figure it out and how to work through it and do what's best for your family.
And I think, ironically, I think you can look at the positive side of a negative situation, because then the kids look at you as, quote-unquote, you know, my new family, my mom or my dad or whichever the equation is, that you guys are championing for me. And for that, I'm also, you know, like I'm building this trust, this,
mm-hmm.
this love. And so I think that there is some positive things coming out of that in some ways. It, depending, again, the you know, the ball is in the parents' court, obviously, how they react to something like that. Because if they stood, you know, it's like, you know, a husband defending the wife or the wife defending the husband. And in this case, regardless whatever the situation is, the parents are defending the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid obviously appreciates that.
It is. It's a wonderful opportunity when a step parent can step up and voice concerns for the child or be able to defend the child. That is wonderful for the child to see a step parent as someone that does truly care about them and love them. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Well, what's some of the solutions for coming together as a family, as a unit? How can you develop a new tradition for a newly blended family?
Well, that I think that's one of the fun parts of a blended family is developing new traditions. You can talk about old traditions and things that you've done in the past, parents share, kids share,
mm-hmm.
and then figure out how you can turn them into traditions for your new family. And that might be changing a tradition slightly or trying something that you've always wanted to try, something different. And then your family likes it, and it turns out to be a wonderful tradition. Sometimes things we try really don't work out. It's a mm-hmm. it's a flop, and the kids love it.
mm-hmm.
Even a bad experience can become a good tradition. But just getting creative and having everybody participate and share what's special to you about the holidays. What's special to you about the summertime and any time of year, just creating things that you as a brand new family do together that make you special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about I've read where, especially this is for a very young child, where they can't really go out there and buy things for their mom or dad, that the ex-spouses take the time to really develop that part of the equation where, you know, always buy something for the ex-spouse on behalf of the child for special holidays, because those are the kind of things that you're showing how to love someone, I guess, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense what I'm saying here?
It's mm-hmm,
sort of
sure.
Something
well,
you're building something special.
Sure. It is difficult to build your blended family and then also try to have your child take care of the ex-spouse. With little ones, you can remind them. It doesn't matter how much a gift costs. You can remind them, don't forget to do something special for mommy. You know, go home and draw a picture for mommy, or are you making any crafts at school that you could bring home for mom for Mother's Day? Or that there are ways to remind your child, do you know that Father's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks? Don't forget your dad,
mm-hmm.
And to give them guidance. But there's also guidance within the new blended family to remind them, did you know your stepmom's birthday is in 3 weeks? We need to go get something for her birthday, where even though she's not your real mom, you want to honor her because she's the parent in this home.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, it's guidance from the parents just to show the children and direct them to honor the parents in the different homes and to show them how to do life with divorce and remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't come naturally knowing what to do.
Please share with us some of the wonderful, humorous, fun, successful stories that you have encountered or have heard over the years from your clients.
Sure. Well, one of our wonderful memories is we decorate at Thanksgiving. And this year we didn't have the kids for Thanksgiving. We had them the Saturday after, and they all pile in, all seven, and they bring friends, and we fill the house with music, football games, lots of food, especially for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And we pull all the decorations out of the attic, and we have an army of decorators. and so we assign them. You have the front door, and you have the back door, and you have the tree upstairs, you have the tree downstairs. And I have to let go a little bit of my need for perfectionism. And I just assign duties, and
right.
Our house is decorated completely in one day. And what it creates is the children have decorated their home. It creates more a sense of ownership because they had a part in it, and they have a blast, and they interact with their step siblings in an active and fun and informal way. So for us, that creates a wonderful memory for our blended family. I've heard other stories where a burnt turkey became a wonderful tradition, where Dad grilled the turkey outside and it just burnt to a crisp, and the kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And every year asked the dad to grill the turkey. That's their funny story.
Yeah.
another family told me about this beautifully made casserole, a new dish that was made, and then somehow it slipped off the counter onto the floor and broke. That, you know, the meal was ruined. And the kids thought that was the funniest thing.
Right.
And that was a funny memory for them over the years to remember about the casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, a family told me they were trying to buy the perfect, the absolute perfect tree for their kids' Christmas, and they bought it a few feet too tall for the room.
Right.
And so they had it laying on its side, trying to decide if they were going to decorate their Christmas tree horizontally this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they ended up chopping off the top couple of feet of the tree.
Right.
And the kids just thought that was hilarious. And
right.
So they have a decorated tree with the top knocked off to fit.
Right.
And I mentioned to them that, don't worry, that's not a disaster. You just created a wonderful memory. And you never know, next year the kids might ask for another too tall tree just to be able to chop off the top of it again.
Right. Well, what I'm hearing is that this is actually the holiday itself presents a unique situation where you don't have to manufacture a family event.
Mm-mm.
Because during the normal course of the year, you know, you really kind of like, if we want to do something special, it's almost like trying to force a round peg in a square hole or something like that. Versus the holiday presents itself with tons of opportunities to really get engaged as a family. And so now the choices are you going to take advantage of it or you don't? And so if you are ahead of the curve and you can see things, this is not being gender biased or something, because men do love to cook themselves. And so if you're a cook, you love how to cook, and you happen to know that the kids enjoy playing in the kitchen, get them involved. If you love to decorate, deck the hall, so to speak, and you know that the kids like to mess around with all that stuff, get them involved, because it's not about perfection. It's about building a bond, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. And when you mention meals, our first couple of meals several years ago, I would ask the kids, what do you like to eat?
Right.
What are your favorite foods? I know what my children like, but I don't know what my husband's children like.
Mm-hmm.
So I made lists, and then I also talked to his mother and got several recipes of foods that they were familiar with and that they appreciated as special food around the holiday.
Yeah.
We also make special dishes that the different kids like during the holidays, and I'll invite them to come and help me make their Nana's recipe or make a recipe that comes from their family. In fact, my mother-in-law gave me a cookbook in which she filled out lots of her recipes and her relatives' recipes, and I use that a lot during the holidays to have some familiar dishes for my husband's kids.
That sounds interesting. I mean, it's just a matter of how one takes this and take it to the next level whenever they want to. Let's talk a little bit about your book, because I know it just came out last month. Let's talk about, give us a synopsis about your book.
Well, I'm really excited it's in print now. It's called Blended Family Advice, and it was an e-book for several years, and couples would write to me and ask, can I have something I can hold in my hand? I want something that I can carry with me. And so we published it in November, and you can find it at my website, the Blended and Stepfamily Resource Center.com or blendedfamilyadvice.com. You can find it there. And if you get it on the website, I'll autograph it and dedicate it to your family. But basically, when families blend, when they remarry, they don't know how to blend their family, how to make it into a happy and successful family. And over the years, talking with different families, I started seeing a pattern, and I started writing down what were the common issues that families have. What are the problems? What are the surprises? And then I organized it into a book that this is really an instruction manual for brand new step families and blended families, or ones that aren't new that still haven't figured it out,
right.
Just to go through. And when they read a a story or an experience that I had or some other families have that are in the book, it'll either sound exactly like them or it'll sound familiar.
Right.
And then they can relate their issues and their problems to the book and their solutions in there. So I've found that it's been very helpful, and we're looking to get it more out into the community over 2010.
Well, the one of the things that I know I've encountered is that when people are in the blended family, it's often said that when you blend, you have to bend. There's no compete clause, I think, if everyone
Oh, can. Yeah. Well, that's very good. I might have to email you for permission to use that. But, yes, you do have to bend. That is true. And be flexible. And expect surprises and changes and things not to work out perfectly. And that's okay.
Well, it comes back to the idea of being, you know, are you exuding unconditional love here, or are you focusing on yourself? And that's the equation, the ultimate gift of giving, especially, I guess, why I wanted to do this special show with you towards the tail end of the year and talk about unconditional love, because ultimately when it's all said and done, when you give the unconditional love the purity of itself,
mm-hmm.
then nothing really matters. There's no boundaries. There's no restriction. There's no, you know, ifs and this and that. There's nothing. You just give, and believe it or not, whatever you give will come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. Kids can see and feel the unconditional love.
Right.
And your spouse can see when you give unconditional love to their children. I agree. It's crucial. Very, very important.
How can we talk about buying your book? Where can they get your book again?
On the website, the Blended and Step Family Resource Center.com, or just remember the name of the book, Blended Family Advice. Go to blendedfamilyadvice.com. And there's some families that might need more than the book and need to talk to someone personally.
Right.
And in June of this year, I started doing telephone coaching.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different than counseling, but on the phone I talk to the parents, the mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
and we start from the present and just work on their current goals
mm-hmm.
in their blended and step family and help them achieve their goals to make their family strong and successful. And that's become popular where someone needs to talk to someone personally. I've started the coaching.
What is the number one challenge? I mean, when blended family gets together, the first thing that pops out, the common denominator, what's the number one challenge?
I guess it's hard to say one, but maybe two. One is the competition, where there is feeling a competition that doesn't exist between the new step-parent and the step-siblings,
mm-hmm.
wondering who is cared for, who is loved the most, and there doesn't need to be a competition. And then the others is the what do we do, how do we act, what's expected of us when the parents do not set up house guidelines and rules and don't communicate to the kids, this is a brand new family and this is what we expect of you. When they just become a family and expect the kids to adapt, that's where the problems occur, because kids, they don't know. This is new. This is different.
And I imagine also, especially, I guess, coming back to the holiday season, open communication between ex-spouses is going to be very critical, because you don't want to have one spouse, and this comes back again, inevitably, say, if he or she is can afford it, buy something, you know, that's outrageously expensive and then making the other spouse look real bad or something, you know, vice versa. I would think that would be something that would want to be addressed up front.
Yes, it's best to not focus. You had problems with the former spouse. That's why you're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's best for the two parents to look at each other as, okay, our marriage didn't work, but we're still parents. We
mm-hmm.
still love our children, and you want to continue to do what's best for your children. And so communicating when necessary about the children and keeping the focus on what's best for the kids. And parents will discover that an expensive gift or an expensive vacation, that yes, the kids will have fun, but they'll have just as much fun camping in the backyard with Dad as spending a week in a resort with Mom.
Right.
It's the love. The kids
right.
want the time and the love with the parent and not the money, not just spending money on them. So,
right.
Yes, it's very important to have a good co-parenting relationship. And if you do not have a good relationship with your ex-spouse, that's still okay, too. It's better for each parent to continue to do what's right and what's best for their family and what's best for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to do what's right, then that's okay if the other spouse doesn't agree. The children can see your love and see that you're doing what's best for the family.
Well, what I'm also hearing is that what's very, very important right here is that the adults may be divorced, but ultimately you have the subset, you know, when you talk about sets and everything else, the child's welfare and the child's well-being and everything else doesn't change. Right. And so as such, you know, we have to be a parent accordingly, whether we're married or not, because you can butt heads when you're in the family about the kid or out of the family with the kid. So that doesn't change. It's just that we want to make sure that, you know, we're not creating a monster here, I guess, in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. And you also want to teach your children what a healthy marriage is. And a good thing about a blended family is it's an opportunity, first off, before you remarry, to figure out what went wrong and look at yourself, how to work on yourself personally, prepare for a new marriage, and when you remarry, how to make it a healthy and functioning marriage so that you can teach your children how to have a healthy relationship when they grow up and they're ready to marry.
You know, coming back to, this holiday situation again, I've seen many movies, TV shows, and whatnot, where you have obviously Hollywood's got a lot to do with it, too, because I think the children like to watch movies. And, of course, when you talk about blended family, people don't realize it, but there are a bunch of those shows out there. One of the recent ones I've seen is it's called The Golden Christmas on ION channel, and it's, you know, you have a guy with his daughter, and then you have a woman with her son, and of course the kids themselves trying to prep the parent, to get together kind of thing, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. So how does that comes into the equation here? Do you have any thoughts about how how to engage in that kind of scenario, getting the open communication between the child and the parents, so to speak?
Well, just continuing to communicate openly and clearly and that you love your child and what your expectations are and helping guide your child as a parent.
Is it healthy for the child to be involved with something? Is that realistic? I mean, you know, what we see on TV as far as that communication, the open communication about the child trying to help the dad find the right.
Right. I guess some of that's Hollywood and TV, but but I know that I was single for a long time, and my kids looked at me and they said, you want to be with someone, need a husband, and we, you know, it would be nice to have a daddy in the house.
Right.
Is what they call the stepfather is a daddy in the house.
Right.
So there's a daddy outside the house, and there's a daddy in the house. But
right.
But my kids saw the need for me to have a partner in life, and would ask, Mommy, are you dating? Mommy, are you looking?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and even as the preschoolers and young school age, they would ask any prospects or are you trying?
So
there are kids, especially the younger ones, that naturally want a mommy and daddy in
right.
the house, even if mom and dad live at different houses.
And I presume that's healthy.
Sure. They want the love and they want the guidance, and it does it is natural, of course, to have a mom and the dad in the house. Divorce isn't natural and isn't what's best desired, but if you are divorced and then remarried, then yes, it is more natural for the kids to have a mom and a dad in the house.
So did your kids run your Facebook?
No, they actually taught me Facebook over the last year. and taught me how to use Facebook, and then they've helped me with Twitter, and they're actually amazed at how popular that account has become. So.
Right. Well, what can we expect from you in 2010?
Well, I'm ready to help blended and step families with their New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. People that want to make this year, 2010, the best one for their blended family, when they're ready to work on their blended family issues. And then I'm also going to work on a study guide so that leaders can use blended family advice in community groups, churches, civic groups, and also looking at the military, which is very strong on helping marriages and families grow and become successful.
I see. Any last advice for first-time blended family holidays, participants? I mean, I guess, first Christmas, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or first New Year's?
Well, everything's not going to be perfect, and everything's not going to be familiar. But make sure you spend time with your spouse, talking and bonding, connecting with your spouse, and planning. And no matter what happens, it's okay. It's still going to be okay, and it'll still create a memory for your kids, whether it all works out or it doesn't, because family's not usually perfect. So it's too high an expectation to expect your first blended family holiday to be perfect.
I understand that. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living to share with our listeners this morning?
Let's see. How about a huge cup of patience,
okay.
a dash of a positive attitude,
mm-hmm.
and then spice it up with humor, because I think it's great to laugh at ourselves and just not expect everything to go perfectly.
Repeat that. That's wonderful. I like that.
Oh, okay. A huge cup of patience,
mm-hmm.
and a dash of a positive attitude,
mm-hmm.
and spice it up with humor. Because I think we all need humor and all need to be able to laugh.
Believe it. I think that helps in anything we do, humor.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed not trying to be perfect. I discovered when I stopped trying to look absolutely perfect and I walked downstairs to breakfast in curlers one morning and my youngest stepdaughter about fell out of her chair laughing.
Uh-huh.
She loved it, and then the next morning she came down to breakfast in pajamas.
Yeah.
So it just basically loosened up the house when I did that one day.
Well, it's being you. I mean, being natural. We don't have to put up a, quote unquote, like you say, an act or something that we can't live. We have to just be who we are, and it's okay to let our hair down sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it helps them let their hair down.
Right, and then when it's all said and done, why? Because we're family. And
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right, and then that blends everything perfectly from that perspective. So this is just wonderful. Well, Shirley, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio will be off the air for 2 weeks to celebrate Christmas and the New Year. Please join me Tuesday morning, January the 12th, when we kick off 2010 with the theme of A New Year, A New You. My guest will be Lolly Daskal. She's a life coach, a teacher, and a speaker. She's an expert in helping individuals identify their personal passion and using it as the foundation to lead themselves from within, with personal empowerment to attain a purposeful, fulfilling, and successful lifestyle. Over the years, her infectious enthusiasm, keen insights, and engaging interpersonal style have helped countless people flip the switch to live their lives with greater clarity, meaning, and happiness. Lolly and I will be discussing how we can take a step inward to discover the desires of our hearts and to learn how to lead ourselves from within toward the new us in 2010. For additional information about this show, future shows, and for my weekly recipes for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/FMMK Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Shirley, thank you again, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.